What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the DL Gaming Podcast. I'm Bobby.
This is Chi.
I'm too fat for video.
Well, you can see that for yourself. If you did not know, we are currently live on twitch.tv. Our link is /dlgaming.net. Don't forget to spell out the .net. And this is exciting, guys.
It is.
So it's a rough start here. Nothing special just yet. We're trying some things out. It's a bit of a test run. Next week, we're going to have some improvements. It'll be a work in progress, but we're taking the first step. You just got to jump right in.
Yeah, we're going to... Our ideas for the name of the studio is Red Door Productions. You can see why if you tune in at some point. And Bobby, you said that you wanted to like spruce yourself up before you come, you know, beyond. Is this spruced up? I can't tell.
This is
if you did anything different.
As good as it gets.
This right is here. As good as it gets.
Yep. Oh, wait, Bobby's actually like physically spruced up? Like he...
Yeah, this is like sexy Bobby.
Yeah,
sexy Bobby?
Yeah, see?
Somebody already called him Hugh Jackman.
He does smell nice.
Unless they were talking about you.
But then that's the thing, like, you know, the camera won't pick up on your scent, so.
Oh, they know. They can see it.
Anyways.
They can see confidence wafting off of you.
That's true. I actually will put on perfume for my live streams on Twitch when I was a Once Upon a Time streamer. Anyways, in regards to this particular first test run on Twitch, I'm super excited. I want anybody that's watching us in the audience to be as critical as possible. There are a lot of improvements to be made, mainly the lighting, because it is practically falling on our heads.
Well,
and
we have studio lighting coming in. But somebody dropped the ball on bringing it in. So,
well, outside of the studio lighting, like whenever you start up a new stream, you know, there will be certain little nuances that you want to correct and perpetually correct, if not, if so the case. In fact, every time I load up a stream, I'm always adjusting one thing or another because it's quite necessary. And outside of offering us criticism, let us know if you guys are interested in applying for Twitch.tv mod. We're looking for somebody who's experienced with Twitch chat and the whole Twitch community and can really support us while we're getting our broadcasting elements in place.
I feel like if I was a listener, I'd be like, oh my God, I would so want to do that. And then I'd start and I don't know the first thing about Twitch. Like, I don't even know what the little the gray face means. I don't think it really means anything.
The Kappa
right?
face?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you got a long way to go.
Oh, you got some catching up to do.
Welcome to PC Gaming Podcast, where I don't know shit.
Where we teach Amelia what Kappa means.
Yeah. But anyway, so video's happening. We are going to continue to do that, hopefully on Sundays. I think we're going to stick to aiming for Sundays. But... yeah, check us out at DL Gaming, DOTnet on Twitch, or you can just go to our Discord and it'll be shown in the top right corner.
Yep. Now, we look like noobs on video, so if this is your first show, we are not noobs. Watch the silky smooth voices give you orgasms. Eargasms.
I'm actually really excited. Like, this is a first step into something that's going to be getting better as we progress through things. Just like anything else you start, you're never a master initially, but the more time we invest into it, the better production will come out of it. So I'm super, super, super excited about where we're going to take this.
Yeah, and definitely we're not this fuzzy in real life. All right, let's go. Let's get on with
Well, this. Wait until you take your shirt off, Emilio.
Super fuzzy.
wait, Sam, you too. Wasn't Bobby just saying he wasn't smooth in front like a Ken doll? He's Wolverine. Week, yeah. We've seen him with his shirt off.
Sam bought me a hair trimmer for Christmas, so guess what?
That was a message, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's talk some video games. So, the Steam Winter Sale is happening currently, still going on. Have you guys picked up anything or anything caught your eye?
I've been gone for 5 days, so, gee.
Where did you go, by the way?
San Jose, and I drove all the way there. I usually fly, because I'm an adult. But, since business came up, I found some business going up and coming down. And that means selling heroin.
Oh, gosh.
Across the Golden State.
Well, I love San Jose. I'm glad you got to go up there. You spent time with family for the holidays?
I did.
By the way, happy belated Christmas to everyone.
We have a Christmas segment.
Well, we do? Okay.
But yeah.
More on that later.
Merry belated Christmas.
As we were saying, or you were saying, what you purchased on Steam, or if anything at all?
I've been gone, so I haven't even looked at the sale. Is it still going on? Mm-hmm. And will it be going on tomorrow?
Yeah, it's still happening. So in the past, what they've done, they've had these flash sales where everything's on sale, but then occasionally a few items will be even more on sale.
They got rid of that, didn't they?
Yeah. Now it's just a flat out sale throughout the entire time. They integrate this whole Steam Awards thing with it, which I don't think a lot of people are paying attention to. But
I don't know. I'm paying attention to it, but I don't give it a lot of... It doesn't have a lot of gravity for me, but I will enjoy it.
I like the Steam Awards because it's all user based. All the reviews, not the reviews, I'm sorry, all the votes come from the community itself. Mm-hmm. And it feels like you have more. I mean, that's all the impact that you need towards an award show. When you think of any awards out there, how many votes is from the actual public and popular vote
versus
something that might be just compiled up by a select few?
It's always like votes from the people. And by the way, producers and judges, and there's like the small print. But this one is like 100%.
But that's like an actual awards thing. The Steam Awards is just kind of this jokey thing. It's not meant to be taken seriously.
Yeah, and it's a lot of fun. I mean, they had a Mom's Spaghetti Award, and I actually watched 8 Mile the last time I was on a plane. I downloaded it from Netflix on my phone, and I watched 8 Mile on the way home from Minnesota, actually. Not Michigan, Minnesota.
Has anybody listened to his new album that just came out?
Listened to one of his songs. He's still as whiny as ever, but I still love him.
Yeah, he's very
My boyfriend's
upset.
A little whiny, too.
He's a little upset this time. It's a very political album. Anyway.
You might need to lower your mic just a little bit, Amelia, or point it more at you.
There do you speak through your nose, or do you speak through your mouth?
Well, I think for video, too, we got to be aware that this might be blocking our face as well.
Oh, gotcha.
I was looking at a bunch of games. I have yet to buy any of them. I was looking at the DLC for Darkest Dungeon because I've been playing a lot of that game.
Oh, which one? The Crimson?
There's three DLC. There's the Shieldbreaker. Some of them add classes. I think the Shieldbreaker adds a class, but also it adds more content to the game. And I'm having trouble just getting through the game itself at this point, so I'm in no rush.
But nobody ever got through it anyway, right?
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could. It would take a lot of time. I'll talk more about Darkest Dungeon later.
Okay, we'll get into it later.
Oh, and as for items...
Foreshadowing!
And as for items that I've purchased over the Steam sale, I purchased Outbreak, the Resident Evil Outbreak homage. Before I said homage or something, but homage, sorry. Homage. I keep on mispronouncing that word. But
that's right. Yeah.
But homage is correct.
Correct.
Not homage, not homage, homage.
Correct.
And
is it Outbreak Pandemic Evolution?
No, it's Outbreak The New Nightmare. And it's on sale for $5.99. I purchased it for myself, and I actually bought three extra copies for my friends. It is a co-op online, very original Resident Evil-esque game. And we can talk about... I will be foreshadowing... This is a foreshadow moment, but I'll talk about that a little bit later because it's virtually the only game I played during winter break.
Cool.
Nice. Yeah, I'm at the point now where I'm not going to buy anything unless I'm going to immediately play it. So... I really haven't, I don't think I bought a single thing on the summer sale or the winter sale.
I feel like one ends and then 3 weeks later there's another one. So it's hard to get excited about
these
things.
A lot of sales, but the two big ones are the winter and the summer.
And I'm all about the front page. If there's something that catches my eye, sure. Other than that, the wish list, when I get that email, I'll buy that shit right away.
Yeah.
Unless it's like a 10%, 15% sale, then it's not rich enough for my... I don't know how to say it, but no, you got to give me more discount than that.
Yeah, for me, I wait for the wish list email alert, and then I'll look at it. I'll contemplate if I'm going to play the game within the next 48 hours, and if the answer is no, I still won't buy it, even though it's on sale, because I already know a future sale is going to happen, and with the email notification, I won't miss it. That's what I love about Steam. They let you know. They'll send you that email. Yeah. They'll flag you down and say, hey, are you ready to buy me yet? And it happened with Outbreak. That's been on my wish list for a little while.
Bobby, everybody's complaining about the volume. Maybe we could turn up the overall volume.
I think it's quiet in Twitch. I'll turn it up in Twitch.
Okay.
If I can.
Snickersnee, if you're going to be recruiting PUBG people in live podcasts, get the fuck out, dude.
What's going on?
No, not that. I'm just fucking with him.
All right.
I'm nervous. I'm nervous because I'm on video.
Emilio's, okay, so.
And the other thing, too, is like my worst side is my left side because I have this giant mole.
I don't even know that.
And nobody does because I have such large nostrils. You don't see my.
Emilio, you look mole. Fine. You look great.
Okay, thanks.
I don't think anyone's seeing anything with this webcam. All right.
<That's true. clears
throat> So what have you guys been playing? Emilio, you've been gone for a while, so you haven't been able to play much?
Correct. I did play Golf It. With Rubber Nuts, who's back, by the way.
Is it not Golf with Friends? It's Golf It?
Golf It, yeah.
I've never heard that game
before. It's brand new. Okay. Oh, well, it's brand new to us. This is, so, a little thing about Golf with Friends. We built this game up. We probably sold them 50 copies, 75 copies that I know of. But I reached out to them for an interview. They said they're too busy and they can't get to us until they have full release because they're so busy developing. And I get it. And then I play Golf It. And then now I'm not interested in Golf with Friends anymore.
It's that significantly better?
It's better in almost every single way. Better graphics, better music, better physics. Maybe the only thing that it lacks in is like those extra little bells and whistles where you can change the shape of your ball. But that was just for fun anyway. You can change the color of your ball.
It's also much earlier in development versus Golf with Friends, which has been
out Golf for a while. Golf with Friends is still in early access, I believe. Bobby, can you check on that?
You might and as then, well call it early access release asset. Because it's been access.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Early asses.
Did I say early asses? I do.
I thought that's what you were going for, so I tried to jump the gun.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, this game, it looks like a full release. And here's the, as if better graphics, better physics, better gameplay. Oh, and another thing I really love about this game is how hard you hit the ball is not a meter like kicking a field goal in Madden, where like if you memorize how hard you're supposed to hit it on this particular thing, then you can get in Golf with Friends, you can get it every time. You just memorize where on the power bar and then what.
You could probably even Google, not Google, but
sure.
YouTube.
Yeah, sure. What direction and what power?
Golf hacks.
Now you're actually hitting the ball with your mouse. You have to like physically move your arm and shoulder to hit the ball. And the faster your mouse is going, the harder you hit the ball. So even though you
know... So there's more emphasis on skill rather than placement.
Way more, yeah. And
it's almost like playing pool with a golf ball.
Exactly. And even though you know I'm only supposed to hit it medium, you can still fuck it up and go way too hard just because you're excited or drunk or whatever, or Australian for that matter. And so...
So it is skill-based.
Rubber Nuts introduced our entire listenership to Golf with Friends. We were big fans of that, and I think now it's time to move over to this. It's $7.99 last I saw. Maybe it's cheaper on the winter sale.
And for
buy
me,
it now, even though you're not going to pay it, play it, because this is going to be a drunken game night game.
And for many screenshots, honestly, I could barely tell the difference between this and Golf with Friends. It's very similar in virtually all aspects, other than the minor news.
It's only $5.39 right now, which is like $3 cheaper than when I bought it, and it was worth it. So, and the last biggest selling point is it has Steam Workshop. So people are going to be making their own maps, which is great.
Oh, that's something that, does Golf with Friends provide that?
No.
I don't think so.
No.
So that's going to be amazing because it's basically a game that will extend
never
upon
end.
Itself.
Yeah.
Versus
as long as it gets it gets
Golf
the downloads.
Friends.
Yep.
All right, cool.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited to get drunk, too drunk to play anything else but a golf game.
I'm excited for us to have our drunken streams now because that is something that I used to do virtually every other day in my past and play some video games, maybe with some viewers and listeners in the audience and actually be the podcast we set out to be.
Definitely. From here, like I'm looking at it, it'd be nice to have us up in a corner and then like the game and we have all our controllers.
We should
here.
Just have an overnight thing. Slumber party.
Yes, we're doing it.
Just don't let Jocko sleep anywhere near me when I'm like
Jocko
asleep.
Is my dog and he pisses all over. Oh,
not just no, he's a crotch snipper. Jocko bites the taco.
Yeah.
It happened to me today.
Did it twice, right?
Well, okay, one was no teeth, and then one was with teeth.
Yeah.
And... And yeah, so not when I'm sleeping. Don't let Jocko near the taco. Yeah.
And what was the other thing? Oh, so Rubber Nuts, who's Australian, heard my dog yap for some reason. I probably kicked him or something. And he's like, "I hear a dog. What do you have?" And I said, "Oh, it's funny that you say that. I have an Australian cattle dog." And he's like, "Oh, here we just call them dogs because okay, so." Nobody laughs. All right.
It's a breed.
Yeah, but he's in Australia. So yeah. There they just call him dogs, not Australian dogs. Anyway, he said he had one, and he said he loved it, and he's the greatest dog ever. So we'll see. But they do bite. That's the problem with them.
Yeah, yeah.
Not bite to hurt.
I learned that firsthand. Yeah.
Watch your crotch, Chief.
I forgot to wear my chastity belt before I came, so I know now. Trust me, with Asian parents, I have like 10 in the closet. I'm kidding.
All right, Chi, did you want to talk about Outbreak or should I talk about some other games?
I would love for you to talk about something.
All right. I'm going to talk about... So I've been on break for about a week, which means that I've been able to stay up late and really get into games. But also, I've realized what a vibrant community we have at the DLG Discord.
Yeah, absolutely.
A lot of night owls, a lot of nocturnal people. Really comes alive late at night.
And I love that you've been streaming all the games that you're playing.
Oh, yeah, I've been streaming constantly, for better or for worse.
I haven't been very present on Twitch, but if I'm present on Discord and I see that Bobby's streaming, I always drop by his stream. You're actually a very good streamer, might I add. So if anyone, we can help build his audience. He's a really good streamer. Like when no one's even...
It kind of degrades after a few hours. I know it takes a lot out of you. It's one of those things that you don't realize. Like riding motorcycles. You wouldn't think about it until you actually start riding motorcycles. It's a very exhausting thing to do. Like streaming, you're sitting there, you're playing video games. How hard could it be? After a few hours, you are like... I don't know. It takes it out of me.
There's definitely a heavy social element to streaming, and it's exhausting to me. It's just like going to work. I'm a bartender by trade, if you guys don't know that. And as a bartender, you're constantly talking to whoever comes by to patrons. In Twitch, it's very much the same way. And Bobby, one thing, and the reason why I say he's a great streamer is because he consistently talks to the stream, even if he's not necessarily interacting with the chat, or if chat is silent, he still entertains regardless of chat. That's one of my weaknesses as a streamer. If chat is not interacting with me, I don't open my mouth because it does get pretty exhausting talking on a continuous level. And I think you do it very well. So, like, check out his replays and everything else.
There's probably a document. There is a documentary coming out about Bobby starting to stream. It's called The Greatest Showman in the World. Starring Hugh Jackman. It's a musical. I don't know how they adapted that into a musical, but
oh my god!
Yeah,
yeah. No, if I could name Bobby's Twitch documentary, it would be: is that Hugh Jackman? Is that Wolverine?
Yeah.
We need him to take his shirt off in order to tell.
I think he does Wolverine.
But if you have been watching my stream, then you would see me playing mostly Heroes of the Storm, obviously. But I've also been playing a lot of Darkest Dungeon and a few other games. This is like my time of the year to just sample all these games that I have. And one that I consistently go back to is Awesome Knots. And I know I've talked about this several times on the podcast before. It's a 2D MOBA game, 3v3, like very casual, basic, whatever you want to call it. But that game really holds up. I enjoy it so much. It went free to play. And they've made a lot of changes that I actually like about it. So it was fun playing that for a little bit. Couldn't get that into it, but, open invitation. If anyone wants to play some Awesome Knots with me, let me know. But Darkest Dungeon, I just thought, you know what? I played this game a lot in beta. 2014, I think it was our DLG game of the year. It was one of the very few games where Chad, Emilio, and I all agree, like, hey, this is an outstanding game. Rarely does that happen, where there's one game where we're all like, this is a really good game. So I finally went back to it. I lost all my playthrough because it went out of beta. It had changed so much that they just had to wipe everyone's saves. So I had to start all over again, but it was good because I needed to relearn the game. And it's such a great game. This is up there with like best games of all time. Like I would recommend this game to absolutely anyone. This is like a desert island game. You know, if you're stranded or if you just have infinite time, like this is just such a good game.
It's gotten better.
Yeah.
It's gotten so much better.
And what I love about this game and what I've noticed from watching you stream is that it's one of those games that you can alt tab to and play or have it or just leave it running in the background and nothing will change about that world. Like the game can pause and you can pick it up and play whenever and go back to it.
It's called a hot pause game.
Hot's pause game.
Yeah. No, actually,
the downtime game.
With a lot of
I used to play Poly Bridge and Aim Booster and I actually learned about Aim Booster from Chad. So drink
Chad
to that.
Chad learned about Aim Booster from me, though. Not to take credit. But
okay, well, you got to speak up about
that. My hand, though. But
then Bobby.
No, in the HOTS community, there's, like, especially if you play Hero League, you could be in for some very long queue time. So they always, I think they call them queue games. So, like, games that you can play during queue. And this is a perfect one because it freezes your progress. So this is a roguelike. And if you... You know, if you lose a character, they're gone for good. If you turn off the game...
Has that happened yet?
Yeah, I've lost two characters. But overall, this is...
That just happened.
Yeah.
They're going to die.
It's inevitable. But overall, I'm doing really good. Like, I'm making a lot of progress. Probably the furthest I've ever gone in this game.
Perfect game for a robot, because you haven't... You can't fall in love with your characters. They're going to die.
I didn't even bother to name them or customize them this time.
They're going to die.
My question is on this, is there a moment where you want to lose a character? Is there a time in the game where you need to change up the team comp? Or what emphasis does... You know, a constant turnover.
You've never played this game. We should probably explain the game itself for anyone who has never played it.
It's hard to explain, but
It's a roguelike. I compare it a lot to XCOM because you build this roster of people and you select a couple of them to go out on a mission. You go out on a mission, you collect resources, you go back into town, you spend those to improve your characters, and then you send your characters back out on missions. So it's a constant back and forth between these two.
What is the end game goal? What's the storyline behind?
Some of these missions you go on are to defeat bosses. So you travel through a dungeon, you kill a boss, and then as you progress more and more in each of these dungeons, they level up so they become more and more difficult, and eventually you go to the darkest dungeon, which is the end one, and then there's like a final boss in there. And I spent about 40 hours in this game in beta. It's hard to tell now how many hours.
There's a lot of play, a lot of replay value to this. And, that's great.
Well, according to Steam, I spent another 40 hours in there, but I know a lot of that's just all tabbing between HOTS, but it's not that far off. Like, I have played a lot of this game, and I want to say I'm maybe halfway through, if that.
So you're saying the combat doesn't get repetitive?
No, because you're constantly trying different. First of all, you have characters who have, you get four characters in a group. Each of your characters is a different class. Each class can have different abilities, and you can level up those abilities. So you can really customize them however you want. Not only that, but you gear them with trinkets. So there's a lot of different ways to change playstyles. But the order, is that what you're going to bring up?
Order? Okay. That they go crazy.
Oh, the stress
factor.
They
start to go crazy.
Oh, that does remind me. There was this one point I saw a debuff on one of your characters, and it basically said he was in love. That's a debuff in the game?
Well, I haven't seen that one. That must have been you.
No. So your
being in love bogs you down, guys.
Well, the...
it does.
Yes, it does.
I think if anyone, I'm one to experience. No, you and me, who gets bogged down more? Let's not get into it.
All right. I've turned off the autofocus on... Twitch
keep,
here,
you
guys.
You keep fucking with it.
Hopefully. Like, it's on the max setting. I don't know if it's getting any better. I think it's just the camera.
Just leave
Can
it.
I try some next level video shit? I'm going to see if this works. I'd really like a drink, Sam. So if you're watching.
That's horrible.
What? I'm in the middle of a show.
That's relationship abuse.
No, it's not.
What, you want her to bring a sandwich in the process?
Yeah, preferably.
She should walk in here. Sam, if you're listening to me, just walk in here and slap Amelia in the face and leave.
She just drink wine because she knows it.
And girl then the power.
Oh, Sam's a girl, by the way.
Sam's a girl.
He's not a humpback that I whip around. I wouldn't treat a man like that.
All right. So Darkest Dungeon. So what you were talking about, Chi, is your characters, they can get good, what do they call them? Quirks? I think they call them quirks. They can get good ones and bad ones. So as they go into dungeons, they can get like this quirk where they have 5%, like plus 5 accuracy, or they get a bad one. And the one that you saw, so there's a mechanic in the game called stress where your characters get stressed out by certain things that happened. Like if the enemy gets a crit on them, then that will cause stress. Or some enemies have just spells that do a little bit of damage, but a lot of stress. And the stress causes the characters to eventually freak out and do weird stuff. And So the one,
it's like stress breaks, and those stress breaks lead to, quirks, I guess. Like another one would.
Yeah, it'll cause, if they get too much stress, they'll have a negative quirk, or they'll freak out and just like refuse to fight, or they'll refuse healing, or they'll just do all sorts of weird things. They become unpredictable.
Is there a way to avoid these stress indicators?
Yeah, you can get trinkets and abilities that reduce it or prevent it. But when you're done with your mission, you can send them to relieve stress in various ways, either going to the bar, going to the brothel. So the guy that you saw, he had something about being in love.
Spent too much time in the brothel.
I can't remember what that does.
That's happened before too.
He wouldn't go to the brothel because of he was in love or like something
like religious,
that.
He's religious. He can't go to the brothel. But then if the brothel's used up by another guy, then you're kind of fucked. So you got to just put them on the
that's interesting. The that's
there's
cool.
There's so much going on. And it sounds like super duper complex, but it's a 2D graphics. And it's just all drag and drop. And like Bobby said, recommend to just about anybody.
Yeah, Darkest
it's
Dungeon.
It's a good thing that it's complex. Being played. That you've already invested well over 40 hours into the game. Not even fully. It's still in early access,
you said?
The art
style is perfect.
No, it's not in early access. You guys
No. It was when we first played it, it went out of early access maybe about a year ago.
Wow.
And I think it got a lot of publicity during then, rightfully so. But even in beta, we actually interviewed the art stylist guy.
We're not going to talk about that. Chad and I had just come back from like a barbecue. We were drinking all day and we interviewed this guy and we were both so high, like high up on this game, and we're like, dude, we're so lucky, just fucking word vomit over and over.
Oh man,
it was really bad.
And I'm pretty sure what that developer was just like in his own head thinking, oh my god, what
like,
a bunch of novices.
Yeah,
exactly.
I texted him that we gave him game of the year. He was like, meh.
Really?
He didn't say meh.
He didn't say meh.
No, I think he was respectful.
And also, his game hadn't come out yet. So they were just, it was the same with the Gulf of Friends, where they were still working at it at the time. Mm-hmm. So we gave him Game of the Year before they even released. That's how good, how much.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But
so
remember,
instead of you guys sucking his dick, he should have been sucking yours.
Well, we don't know.
Well, he didn't need us.
Maybe 69, we could work something out.
I think PC Gamer gave him Game of the Year that year too.
Oh, okay.
Or the next year.
So he didn't meh all over that, did he?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Yeah. But this is done kind of, the writing in this game is so great. It's very Lovecraftian, and I had never really read any Lovecraft before I had played this game, and it kind of got me interested in that, and then I started reading the stories, and my brother-in-law actually got me a book of all of Lovecraft's work, and I've been reading it, and as I read his books now, I can't help but do it in the narrator's voice from Darkest Dungeon.
Great,
like, that's
narrator.
All I can hear.
Yep.
It's like the tone is perfect. They matched it exactly. So I can't say enough good things about this game, but I feel like I've talked about it a lot, like in the past before, but I...
What is it going for on
Steam?
$10
on
Steam
right now. On sale.
You know, after everything you've said about this game, raved about it, the amount of gameplay involved, $10 is a steal.
Bobby, it's $10? Jesus. Bobby, did your brother-in-law randomly get you a Lovecraftian book?
No, I think he asked my girlfriend, what I was into lately.
Oh, and you had probably...
What did you get your girlfriend for Christmas, might I ask?
A Nest thermostat.
Yeah,
wow, Bobby.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Practical.
Way to get her hot, Bobby.
Very practical.
Oh my god.
It's a thermostat. Anybody. All right. This is what I do all day. I drop bombs and nobody's home.
You know what? I would appreciate something like that because I don't have a thyroid. As some of you may know or may not know.
If your lover got you a thermostat, you would not be happy. I don't care how cold you were.
It is a thoughtful gift, man. Women are always
first
cold.
Thing you would say is, does it vibrate? That would be your first thought. No.
Right. No.
Let's keep moving.
All right. So, yeah, Darkest Dungeon, Awesome Knots. I did my placement games of Heroes of the Storm today. They did not go well. Hero League is kind of in disarray right now. They've had some matchmaking problems in that game, and it's made for some really interesting matches. But... yeah, so that was terrible. I don't know what else to say about that.
Wait, did you get too much up in your head? Is that what it was?
No.
Allowed to play placement matches with partied up with a group?
Only in Team League. But I did my solo placement matches. So when I did those, I wanted to do it during winter or during break, because I've been playing a lot of HOTS. This is the best I'm going to be for a while, because I'm really aware of the meta and everything. And I played it, and my performance was good. But isn't that what they always say? And it's really unfortunate, because this is on my third account, by the way. This isn't on my main account. So I think it placed like Diamond 3 last year. So I start playing games. First game, Diamond 2s, Diamond 3s. I'm like, okay, this is probably where I belong. We lose that one because of a drafting error on someone's part. Like right away, I'm just like, oh shit, we lost this one. Okay, next game, something goes wrong. Somebody gets mad. Shit goes downhill, and I'm playing like Diamond 5, Diamond 4. And then next game, you know, after two losses, I'm playing like Plat 1, Plat 2. I'm like, oh boy, this is getting pretty ugly now.
Yeah,
and
amidst all of that ugliness, do you rage at all? I don't think I've seen you rage. I saw you die pathetically in one situation.
Yeah,
but you did not rage at all. You were just like, oh well, that didn't go the way I wanted
it. Like, probably not. But
I'm not like you at all when it comes to playing MOBA games. I'm fully invested emotionally.
He's a robot.
I'm like the opposite of Bobby when it comes to playing games. And
well, when I'm on one of my alternate accounts, I do tend to get. Like, I rarely type in chat, but that will definitely happen more if I'm on an alt account. If I'm on my main account, I keep it classy, 100%. You know, I'm a gentleman. But on my alt account, it's like my alter ego. Like, sometimes the shittiness comes out, because it gets very frustrating when you're playing ranked and you're doing your best. And, like, someone, like, sometimes, and when I talk shit online, like, it's very, like, stern father figure. I'm like, Are you trying your best? Is that your best? Because it's not very good.
Like, I'm not mad, just disappointed.
Exactly. Like shit like that. Like that's what I say.
I never come across gamers like that. If anything, I might be the instigator. I might be the poison that gets in their veins that causes them into rage. I've had plenty of practice on
You're
my big brother. Hell yeah.
Wow.
Hell yeah. I went home for the holidays, played a shit ton of board games, forced my brother to literally just like... I'm sorry, this is hilarious. We were playing Boss Monster, the board game. And I was being a whiny little cunt, but that's because I just lost a game of Talisman after being in the crown of command.
Ooh.
Yeah, but
how did you get knocked out all the way? Or what happened?
I don't know. My boyfriend came up from behind, and then I just lost all control. Whatever. But...
Whoa, are we still talking about board games?
Yes, board games. Oh. Anyways, so Boss Monster, I was having a hard time with the learning curve, and my big brother literally just threw down his cards. He scooped up all of my cards. He put it in the box, and he's like... You're not playing this anymore. And then he just walked away.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's tough face to face. Like I'm never a dick face to face like that. Although, you know what? I forgot to mention this with, before I get into this, recycled. Yes, I do have compression knobs on this mixer. Who needs it? All of us? Let me know later. But anyway, I was playing with Mini Del Macho. He's like, hey, let's play some HOTS. I'm like, sure, let's do it. You know, I knew he had played a while ago. So he doesn't know the game. He's very good mechanically, but he just doesn't, you know, he doesn't know the characters. Okay. He doesn't know the abilities. And like, so I'm trying to like help him out and talk him through it. You know, we're doing pretty good, actually. Like considering the large break, I think he played like way, way back in beta. So considering he's been gone from the game for that long and he comes back in at this point, he was doing pretty well.
He's got mechanics.
Wait, we're still talking about HOTS, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When you played with me, who had the better grip on MOBA concepts gaming?
Wait, you or Mini?
Yeah.
I don't know. It was so long ago when we played.
Look how competitive she is. She's ready to rage.
Yeah, I know.
Answer correctly or we lose a podcast.
No, by the way, shout out to Mini Del Macho. Shout out to Mini Del Macho, who I met through streaming on Twitch. He came by my bar on Halloween. Not Halloween, sorry. My Christmas holiday party. And I was so busy, I barely got to say more than two sentences to him. But I really appreciate that he made face. So...
Good.
And yeah, but then like, well, like I understand why you didn't show up, because I didn't show up to your party. So I'm sorry, Emilio.
You're going to fuck right off.
Don't take Move my cards on. Away, Emilio. Don't. I was totally going to win at Boss Monster, might I add, that board game. My brother ended that game like at the cusp of me
really
just taking
game,
the crown.
I thought.
You know what's funny, Emilio? You're so loud that you're picking up on Cheese Mike.
Really?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Well, no, I'm just sexy, man.
Okay. All right, so that's been my wild week of gaming. And, of course, all this is going into the late night. Now, I want to clear this before I go into it. I got a little bit on Destiny here, but I don't know if you guys even want to hear it at this point.
I would love to hear more about Destiny 2, because after immediately buying the expansion, I've pretty much given up on it. I've close to zero interest in playing that game anymore. But I did notice that you were raiding.
Yeah, yeah. And actually, I should talk about that, because I was raiding with a bunch of listeners, too. Who all was there?
I know Minnie was there.
Yeah, Minnie was there. Clown Lotion was there. Stax.
Everyone but Smoochie was there.
Exaris was there. Yeah, everybody showed up. It was so hard getting six people together to actually make this happen. But once we finally did, it was so much fun. First of all, the dungeon or the raid, like, that's exactly what I want out of this game. Like,
it was challenging.
Yeah, it was challenging, and it was puzzle solving.
Did it take you multiple attempts to complete each boss slash stage?
We had Stax with us, and he knew exactly what to do.
But so he was the most tenured?
Well, yeah, he knew, because there's a way to do this.
What was the tenorship of your group, if you don't mind me asking?
What do you mean tenorship?
As in, who has actually run the raid before, who was brand new, a rookie?
Stax was the only one who had ever done it before.
And he knew everyone exactly else had never attempted the raid.
And no one else knew how to do
it. It actually went smooth.
But what we were telling him was that we don't want you to tell us anything about this. We don't want you to, like, tell us, because there's a set formula on how to solve each of these problems. And we were like, look, we just want to figure it out by ourselves. It took
us like an hour.
Yeah, it took us forever, but we finally did. And he would kind of give us hints, like push us in the right direction. Like, you guys are kind of hot, kind of cold.
I am so glad I wasn't a part of that raid.
he could have just said, all right, this is how
you do it. You guys actually figured it out, because I swear to all goodness, I would not be able to pick up on the little... on the little delicacies
of the fun strategy part of it.
Especially the one with the dogs and the spores. How could you have deciphered that?
I don't think we did that one yet. We only did the gauntlet, and then we started doing the baths, but then people had to go. So
you didn't actually play through the raid.
No, this would not take you just an hour. No.
Okay.
No, and then you have to do that, like, that intermission part where you have to go capture things, bring them back, and defend them to unlock the door. Like, yeah, but we figured it all out by ourselves, and it was a great time, and we tried to get it going again about a day or two later, but it couldn't happen, because getting six people together to play Destiny 2 is very difficult.
It's very hard.
Like, it just getting...
When I played it, we actually outsourced two people for the raid from a website. I don't recall which website. I wasn't the one responsible for that, but we had some pugs.
Yeah, and that's really the way to do it. I mean, I was hitting everybody up. I was just getting anybody that I possibly could just so we could do this raid.
Well, I recall my messages being very silent. I'm just kidding. I was probably really working.
I'm 100% sure we messaged you. I was...
Maybe.
I probably like messaged your brother, whoever was in that
guild.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, Kitsune, do you know who that is?
Oh, that's not one of my brothers.
Okay.
And I barely know that person. I don't know.
Okay. Well, yeah, I hit him up, man.
Well, we'll have to do a full raid. And I've said this probably since the launch of Destiny 2. But if we do the full raid, just give us 2 hours and less than 2 hours, and we could probably get it done. Especially since it's the original raid and not the new raid that's been released. I know I said I'm kind of done with the game, but just Bobby talking about it makes me want to play. Well, and that's the formula of Destiny 2, isn't it? You hear your friends talking about it, you know your friends are playing it, and then...
See, I feel like I finally figured out Destiny 2. I never knew what the hell people were talking about when Destiny 1 was out on PlayStation.
With the item levels?
No, when people would just talk about it, and they seemed to love it and hate it at the same time. I just never got it. I was like, what's the fucking deal with this game? Now I absolutely understand how you can both love and hate this game. It just has so much potential, and there's so many things that I think, like, if they just did this, and that, it would be a fantastic game, and I just wonder what the reasons are that they don't do it. Like, there's just not enough content. You tune in once a week for a couple hours to do your, like, weekly quest. You see if you get good gear. If not, there's literally nothing else to do.
It almost feels like they don't want to try so hard. I feel like a lot of their existing formula revolves around the console community.
Yeah.
And knowing that it pleases the console community, do they need to invest much more beyond this existing formula that is currently
working?
That's
what someone else was telling me. They're like, this is a console game, and this is just how, you know, that was their excuse for this. But
it's like, why are you expecting more than what
people want Destiny 2 to be like that game for them. They want it to be their wow. They want it to be their their League of Legends or their Dota, that game that they can just commit fully to and just have it be their game. But there's no possible way Destiny 2 could fill that void. There's just not enough of it. Emilio, you missed all this.
No, I know.
I don't think he's even sad that he missed all of it. Yeah, I know.
Yeah. So I don't know. Like, I have a great understanding of Destiny 2 now. I get it. And I know like what to expect from it. I'll tune in once a week. I'll do the shit and I'll just leave it at that. You know, it's just,
so what power level are you currently?
316, 317.
And the power cap is
330 or 335.
Probably. Okay. Well, that's exciting. It's good to know. I actually will be getting back into more gaming, most definitely. I actually took a step back from my work duties. So I only work 4 days a week now. So I will be broke as fuck. You know, what's new? But I will be gaming more because I'm going to be in front of my computer a lot more.
Aren't you commencing school duties?
Yes. So,
but you'll be getting me in front of
gaming more. Yeah.
Got it.
All right. So outside of Destiny 2, what other games did you play? I know you've been busy with Christmas, but were there any games that you played, Emilio?
Well, let's talk about Christmas. It's kind
Do you want to talk about
deal.
Christmas?
Yeah, there's only
All right, this is
year.
It. Let's do it.
Mm-hmm. My best gift was probably Sam got me a tile. Oh, that's going to be in the hardware section. Besides that, $7 gift card to Macy's. So I guess
Macy's.
What about you guys?
Well, what did you get Sam for Christmas?
A jacket. She's always cold.
Oh, wow. A jacket. Mm.
She's wearing it now.
You know whose girlfriend won't be cold?
That's what you get your girlfriends, apparently. Just something to
make
them
warm. Get your girlfriend a jacket when you could get her an entire Nest thermometer?
Yeah, that's true.
See, you're just
Are
warming
you
her up.
Too?
I'm warming the entire house.
Oh, my gosh. Right? Actually, for me, from my boyfriend, I also got a jacket. It's a sweater jacket. I'll wear it on stream one of these nights. I didn't want to wear it tonight because I didn't want to spill my wine over it. I knew I was going to be drinking coffee and wine.
And you want to show your shoulders off.
Oh, yeah. I'm looking
if you guys
at
are wondering what Asian shoulders like, because
just check us out on stream.
Yeah, there you go.
Anyways, outside of that, for Christmas this year, I mostly got clothing, and I'm not mad at it because I used to buy myself. If you guys didn't know this about me, when I used to be in sales, I had a problem with retail therapy. So if I didn't know what to do with myself, I would just spend all my money on shoes, on clothing, on jewelry. But since moving to San Diego, which is very expensive, I had to limit back on all of that splurging. And so I don't normally buy clothing for myself or pretty trinkets. So now everyone's buying me all these cute little trinkets and clothing. And I'm actually wearing the necklace that I got for Christmas. So you can't see it on stream.
It's nice.
It's like tiny.
Yeah.
But it's
pretty,
it's nice. And then for my boyfriend, ironically enough, he got me a sweater. I got him a sweater. Like, everyone's just getting people sweaters. Tis the season of sweaters. So what was your favorite present, Bobby?
I just told everyone to give me Amazon gift cards because saving up for that computer. You know, hopefully that's going to happen soon. But I really like that book I got. That H.P. Lovecraft book.
Oh, nice.
I like the way it's chronicled, first of all. It starts off with his early stuff, ends with his later stuff, and he's got a lot of short stories. The first story in there was a short story, like 5 pages, that he wrote when he was like 14 years old. And it's pretty good. And I was like, fuck, 14 years old and he wrote this? That's incredible. But
ironically enough, when you say 14 years old, 14 years ago was the time I published my first fan fiction on fanfiction.net.
You keep teasing this, but then you won't say what it
is. I will admit to it. But the funny thing is, the reason why I brought it up is because for Christmas, through Steam, I was gifted the Final Fantasy X, Final Fantasy X-2 combo. And by my favorite gamer friend.
Okay.
And he's one of my core gamer friends. Shout out to Kason. He doesn't listen to my podcast, but you'll see me game with him all the time. And
then he's not your core gamer friend.
He is. Anyways, so he gifted me those. So I just, out of nostalgia, I looked up my old fan fiction, and it had 134 reviews on it. So people loved it. And
So
it was released December 23rd, 2014 years ago. How do we find it? Mm-hmm. It's on fanfiction.net. It's okay. A Final Fantasy X2 fanfiction.
And what's it titled?
And then my actual, okay, you know what? My username at the time was Miss FPS. So you could definitely find it.
There you go.
Miss Once upon a FPS.
Miss, shut up, Bobby.
I'm just making sure. Yes. Everyone.
Come on. I was, okay, 14 years ago. How old was I? I was 16. I was 16. 16 when I wrote this fan fiction. Go ahead. Go read it. Judge me. Yeah. Judge me all you want.
Okay.
All right. Moving on.
All right.
He Who Should Not Be Named also wrote something for Literotica.
Does no anybody? Way.
Yeah, got, yeah.
What?
Yeah, but
I was
never,
wondering why he kept all those like sexy costumes in his closet.
Yeah. He's a freak.
Yeah, he's a freak, apparently.
All right, let's move on.
All right. Well, I think that wraps it up for the games we've been playing this
no,
week.
No, it doesn't. I read on the drive up and on the way back, Ready Player One, which is the book based on that awesome movie you keep seeing trailers for. But there's a huge difference. The book is based on the 80s, and all the video games are the 80s. Bobby, you might enjoy it. It's a really good book.
Yeah, and they're coming out with a movie.
I really
We talked about the trailer last
yeah,
week,
yeah.
Yes?
But the trailer, like... all the different characters are modern day characters, which I think is a good move. Like, you're going to get way more people going to your movie mm-hmm. if you do the modern day, not so much. I mean, how many of us dinosaurs are there left, Bobby? So,
birds, I don't know. I feel like 80s nostalgia is a big thing right now. So, I think they'll cash in a lot from that. But yeah, I like in the trailer, Tracer's in it.
Yeah.
That's probably a
still make
move.
More of that
cross promotion.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't see its rating. I hope it's at least PG-13, at least, because it could go either way.
Oh,
but
thank
anyway.
You, Steven Sensei, for finding my story and posting it on Discord. Fuck you, man.
That fast. Now, if you really would
oh
like
God,
to
please
know.
Please don't. Please don't.
Go to dlgaming.net, click on our Discord, go to our live podcast. Every episode is up there from beginning to end. So, but it's only up there for 1 week. So if you don't get there, it's not going to be there forever.
Just remember, I was 16
now and we'll throw in
a Literotica
from
weeb.
He Should Not Be Named.
I was a 16-year-old weeb, but please.
No, she was 16-year-old. Don't judge her.
I think I need
anyway,
to leave the
a
room.
Fantastic book. Really good. I drove all the, it was about almost an 8-hour drive, flew by. And like when I got there, I sat in my truck a little while. But this is like coming from like somebody born in 78. So like I can't recommend it to somebody. I don't know.
Yeah, that's my big question. Like are kids these days going to appreciate this book?
I don't know about the book. Maybe the movie. Bobby, you would fucking cream your panties for the book, though.
Well, I've already read the book, dude. I said that like 5 times. Yeah.
Oh, hi. Hi. Oh, you're on the podcast. Sorry.
Yeah. No, it's a
great
book.
Did you think it was
book.
As good as I thought it was?
Oh, yeah. I fucking loved it. I read it maybe about 3 years ago, and I read some of it, and then I also listened to it on the audiobook while I was driving. I could not get enough of it. I would, like, sit in a parking lot, yeah. like, and wait to walk in just to hear a part of the story wrap up. It was so good. And I think... the whole like Oasis and online thing, like that whole thing I thought was fantastic. The 80s thing, yeah, that appeals to like the older generation, but I think it also serves well as a young adult novel too. I don't know.
Yeah, it does.
So it's definitely a PG-13 type of read.
Yes, but it doesn't matter. Like I enjoyed it. I'm 40.
How about relatable to Ender's Game or no?
Yeah, very similar, I guess. Yeah. It has the similarities, but... No, yeah.
Ender's Game was really an close. Amazing book. Probably mm-hmm. my top 3 books of all time read. So.
That's why I am called Ender's Logic.
Yeah.
yeah. Anyway, so read it. Bobby, the book is read by Will Wheaton. I thought he did a kick-ass job.
He narrates a lot of
books. You gotta love that, Will.
And he does a great, great job doing that. Will Wheaton actually is just such a like figure in the whole nerd community.
Nerddom, yeah.
These days.
He was a awesome. Figure before it was... Before geek was chic, mm-hmm. and then it became chic, and then whatever.
Yeah,
exactly. Well, before we move on from the video games, let me touch base on Outbreak. I played Outbreak this winter break. It was the only game that I purchased, so I had to try it out. Ironically enough, when I started up the game and was waiting in the online lobbies, at the bottom it shows you how many people are online, how many people are in a lobby, and how many people are in a game. It said one person was online, zero were in the lobby, zero were in any game. So I was virtually the only person that was playing Outbreak, the new nightmare. I don't know why I keep on playing games that no one else plays, but I had to try it out just because of...
It's because you have horrible taste.
No, of what it resembles. It was most likely me wanting to tap into nostalgic and very... What are you doing, Bobby? Bobby's
so
swinging out his
he's
about to like decapitate me with a wooden sword. Anyways, you could only see it on Twitch. Outside of Bobby's sudden aggression, he was like, "Why did you buy that game? Off with your head." Anyways, I started an Outbreak and I convinced one person to play it with me. And purchase it and play it with me, by the way. I'm so influential. When you start this game, you have six different characters, I believe, to choose from. Each of them have unique characteristics that will help and or hinder you. They have, you know, strong features and weak features about themselves. It almost loads up like a Left 4 Dead lobby where there's a starting point, but then it plays very much like a classic Resident Evil game. It almost felt like Outlast. It felt like Outlast because you would have to scavenge for journals and pick up keys. And actually, that's very much Resident Evil also. But in this game, resources are scarce and the controls are super shitty. The controls are identical to the classic Resident Evil, where if you move
fixed
forward,
camera.
Where you would move forward. No, it's not a fixed camera. Fixed camera. It was a fixed camera where you would move forward on the D-pad, and then you would have to stop and turn, and then move forward again in order to move around. But here's the thing: there was two options. You got to choose the classic controls or the modern controls where you would just move in the direction wherever you were WASDing.
Yeah.
But the problem with that is as soon as you move into a new area and the camera is, yes, you're correct, it was a fixed camera. As soon as your character turned into that new area with a different camera angle, your character would immediately, because you were holding down a directional button, it would immediately start turning and you find yourself doing the circle in between fixed camera angles.
Again?
The good part was the comedic value to this game.
Like making fun of it?
Not just...
You're laughing at it?
Yeah, you're laughing at the game, but it's a up to four-player multiplayer. Each character has their own unique features, and it's actually a challenging game. When it comes to shooting, it's very basic. The only thing that really directs your aim is this flashlight, and you could shoot straight, shoot directly down, or shoot up. I only played the first stage, so the most that I encountered were traditional zombies, which were semi-slow. Some of them crawled, some of them were fat, some of them were skinny, some of them were black, whatever, just kill them all. And then
that
was not a racist comment. That was just me referencing. Anyways, and then there were shush, I love black people. I love all people, skinny and or fat, and all of Mexican and or Asian and or white. Anyways, and then there were also these strange, almost hobgoblin things where it was like midget goblins that you had to shoot.
You had to aim down?
You had to aim down. But the game is
very interesting. There's levels to this game, guys.
Like Left 4 Dead, there are multiple levels that you play through. There's a lot to unravel during each stage, and it's a lot of fun kind of running around in circles and
I think you had fun
how imperfect this game was.
Other people.
Of course.
I think that's what it was, though.
Playing by yourself, it's like loading up any classic PlayStation game. You're going to pick on... It's not a modern game. It's not meant to be a modern game.
No, I get it.
It's meant to be imperfect.
I'm saying the reason you had fun is because you were with friends.
Yeah,
I think you would have had just as much fun, more fun playing Overcooked.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. You don't want to play Overcooked alone. You don't want to play Outbreak alone. You're right. Very right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's some games you cannot play alone. Looks like we're having some serious connection issues here all of a sudden.
Really?
Yeah. Did you leave U-Torn on or something?
No.
All right. I'm going to kill the stream and I'll bring it back. Hopefully that'll help things out. But we are using a Wi-Fi card here, so... Who knows?
Would you like to do an intermission?
Do we need to?
I would like one.
Okay.
Intermission time.
And we're back. No, we're not.
All right.
Well, are we doing an intermission?
Yeah, I would like one.
Okay.
Please.
All right.
And we're back. So I played PUBG 1.0. I only played 3, maybe 4 games. I was upstairs while Bobby was hard at work putting our studio together.
That's what you were doing?
Well, I did the show notes first, and then I did that. But
I at least checked on Bobby. Okay, so when we all
You were drinking wine.
I was drinking wine and talking to your girlfriend like the whole time. But Bobby, I would occasionally check in on Bobby. I asked if he was thirsty. I asked if he was hungry. I fed him some cookies.
I texted him dick pics.
I made sure the room was warm. Like, you know, I nested him.
Is it rude that we speak of Bobby like he's not here? No, and then I took care of Bobby, and then you took... Anyway, right off the bat, first thing that hits you, graphics are much more crisp, and things stand out in front of each other much more.
So wait, there was a graphical update with 1.0?
Yeah, I wouldn't say like they upped the graphics. Like, it's not a prettier game, but it's... So, I mean, it hits you right away. First of all, the UI is much more crisp and clean, and it looks like a polished game, like a game that you would actually buy, as opposed to just like menus.
Were they saving this for official launch?
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay.
And once you launch, even from the startup screen, you know, you're looking at your character, it's popping out against the background, as opposed to like, it all looked very flat before. Now it looks way more, and the game included, looks way, way more 3D than before. Before, you would detect people because they were moving, and you'd see something moving, you're like, let me shoot the thing that's moving. Obviously, that's the thing that's standing out.
Basically, like someone, the way I recall spotting people is just noticing any disparity in pixels.
Yeah, exactly.
And that was basically it.
Now it actually looks like a person running on a field.
Okay, awesome.
And that person looks that like he's not attached to the field. He looks like a separate entity. And it really, really pops out. Sneaking around is going to be a lot harder now. The new map looks fantastic. It's a people are calling it the Mexico map, and I thought they were being
Tijuana map.
Yeah, I thought they were being shitty.
How much does the blowjob go for?
You can buy it for 500 credits. no, but they were saying that I thought like Jens is really racist, and he was calling it the Mexico map. So I thought, oh. He's just talking about, like, how there's no running water or bathrooms. But that's not what it is. Everything's in Spanish. Just like the other one, all the signs are in Russian. Mm-hmm. All the signs are in Spanish here. And
it's definitely not Mexico, though, right?
Well, it could be Spain, but things are run down, so it's Mexico.
Okay.
That's me being racist. it's really pretty. I don't know how more to explain how the graphics didn't get better, but everything looks more distinct from one another.
It's more realistic.
You're not playing a painting anymore. You're now playing 3D chess or whatever it is. Like, you could tell depth now. And all 4 games that I played were... I don't know if it... I mean, this game has always been intense. But it's definitely way more enjoyable, for sure.
Did you get any chicken dinners?
I played 3 games upstairs while you guys were texting me nonstop.
Oh.
Do you think I got any chicken dinners? No. The other thing, the sounds. All the sounds have been redone. The buggy sounds different. The truck sounds different. The gunshots sound different. Everything's far more realistic. It actually sounds like they took microphones and went out and recorded these things, as opposed to like... had a fat guy just make the sounds in a microphone.
Does he have to be fat?
Yeah, because you can't be good at sound effects if you're not fat.
And you need lipids in the cheeks in order to make good sound effects. Yep. Is that why you're the only person who does sound effects on our podcast? I'm not calling you fat. I'm just calling you a great sound effects guy.
Wow. I've never been so offended in my whole life.
Shut up. It's
a gorgeous map. Now let's get to the number one thing that everybody says is the best thing is the vaulting and the climbing. I tested this out as thoroughly as I could in my 20 minutes that I had. If there's a box, let's say, before what you would have to do with the box, actually, you'd have to walk around it. And now you have a couple of other options. One, you could push shift on it and climb it and be on top of it.
I feel like I would accidentally climb a box and screw myself over.
Oh, it's going to happen a lot until you get, because it was happening to me. But if you're holding shift on that same box, you're going to do the, Dukes of Hazzard slide across the box and land on the other side of the box.
Okay.
And so there's a vault, there's a climb. One thing you will not do that I could test was a Lara Croft ledge grab to push up to, you know, you can't jump up and grab ledges. Okay. But if there's a ledge maybe around your nose or neck height, you're going to get up that. Okay. But if it's above your head, you're not going to do that.
Okay.
But it adds a whole lot. And I'm actually kind of shocked of how distinctly different this game looks than the PUBG I played. This actually looks like an official game. If you were waiting for...
I would hope so, considering the fame, the money
the
community that they've established, early release. And it sounds like whatever standards that were meant to be met were met. Would you agree to that statement, or is there plenty of room for
above and beyond for me? But this is like initial, you know, all right, so there's a couple ways a fence can go down. You can jump over the fence, which is way faster, or you can vault over the fence.
Can you shoot down the fence and just walk through it like an
easy? Yeah, that happens, but then everybody's going to know where you're there, right?
Okay.
So jumping over is much faster. Vaulting over it is more secure. But then what's that middle ground? Like, how do you know? It's all space bar. So, like, you sometimes vault and it doesn't look right. But whatever. Oh, and the kill cams are really nice. How did I die? Not only do
you see the shot...
Like other games, you see the 4 or 5 seconds before the shot.
I wonder how many reports of supposed hacking are being flooded through the gates because of kill cams.
Minimize or more?
More.
Wait, more.
Absolutely. Oh, I mean, it's a great anti-hacking system. Counter-Strike does it well with
I guess you can report afterwards.
So you can
Bobby, what are you laughing at?
I'm laughing at this comment. It says, let the guy with the red shirt talk. That's not how we do things around here, man.
Yeah, everybody just talks over Bobby. See, just like I'm doing right now.
So overall, worthy of the 1.0 title. Because coming out and saying this is an official game 1.0, like that's a big deal for a game.
As far as 1.0 releases go, I have never seen a stark contrast so much more as this game. Like, it looks like something you would buy on PlayStation.
Well, good for them.
As far as polish, you know what I mean?
Good for them.
Yeah, good for them. I'm stoked. In the 3 games that I played, I saw 2 new guns as well. So there's now a sawed-off shotgun that you could have in your pistol. So I think it's probably a really good early game.
That would be fun. Yeah. I would enjoy using a sawed-off shotgun because I like close range. It's harder to miss with close range.
That's true.
Hmm. All right.
And we just lost all video.
Have no idea what's going on with the
camera. No idea. I'm about to... Okay.
It's slowly coming back up.
Let's be entertaining. Cheek, ready, go.
We're still live on voice. Yeah, we're not pretty sure, but worry about that. Okay.
So we're ready to talk about some news, though, right?
Yep.
A little bit of news.
Let's move on.
Okay, let's do it. So, Emilio, you want to start us off?
All major ISPs are raising the rates after net neutrality rules were repealed. It's nothing crazy. It's not like 50% hike. The rates are going up between $2 and $10 for depending on different, if you're getting the basic, then yours is going up $2. If you're getting the maximum, then it's going up $10. And that's all the major ISPs from what I could see. I think this is just the beginning, though. Most of the price increases are going to be happening on the provider side, not like us on Twitch, hopefully. But well, actually, Twitch itself is going to be paying more. YouTube's going to be paying more. Who knows what this is all going to entail? But this is the first thing. They were like, I think this is how it went down. We just spent X amount of billions on getting this passed. Let's recoup our money by raising the rates. And who can blame them? And also who can, like, this is just the way it's going to be now. So let's see what happens. Hopefully it doesn't get too much worse. If we start paying for home internet by gigabyte, like we do on our phones, like how awful is it going to be for gamers? It's going to be fucking
the worst.
Terrible.
Just, you know,
it might
shoot me
kill
now.
The game industry in a certain sense. It might, well, not kill it, but change it in a more single player game aspect. Bobby's laughing. He laughs.
Oh, no, we're crashing and burning here.
No, see, that's
Discord.
Just nervous laughter.
Yeah, we all know.
We had a glitch in the system. We can take another break.
No, we can keep going.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll power through it. So I think we're going to have to cut Twitch out of this, unfortunately, but it was a good test run. It was a good start. We learned a lot. There's a lot of improvements to be made, obviously, and we'll be making those in the future. But for now, we'll just continue on with just the audio here.
Cool. I'm glad our DLG people are still back. Our Discord people are still there.
And they're mentioning that we sound like aliens.
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah. Okay. Well. And there goes Amelia.
And the crash and burn begins.
All right. It's fun because I'd rather just keep it going just for the rest of the show
okay,
here.
Let's
because the audio will still be good.
Okay.
Fun times. All right. So also in the news, I wanted to bring this up. Mini Del Macho actually brought this to my attention. Apparently Jeff Kaplan was streaming on Christmas Day. You saw that? Just him sitting in front of a fireplace?
Yes.
Just looking at the camera all awkward for like a long time.
Well, he is the living internet meme currently. Can you think of any other internet memes that aren't just a screenshot and or a picture? Like when it comes to Jeff Kaplan, he's becoming more meme stream than other memes now because, you know, he's a regular face. He can make fun of himself. He is someone you'll find on, honestly, I remember shopping on eBay and there was a Jeff Kaplan shower curtain that was on trending sales.
Wow.
So he's basically just a walking, breathing, talking meme and he's capitalizing on it.
Well, I think because I don't play Overwatch, I'm not aware of like the full extent of his meminess. But yeah, I can see that. And there were 40,000 people watching this when I tuned in. 40,000 people just watching this guy sitting in front of a fireplace. So I don't know. Stroke of genius, I suppose.
Yeah, it's like the Dos Equis guy, right?
Yeah.
I don't normally. No, we're referencing Jeff Kaplan and his.
Oh, yeah.
Popularity and like he's like the most interesting guy in the world right now. You could find him on your
in the PC gaming world, maybe.
Yes, absolutely.
More than well, how much do we hear about Gaben anymore? Hardly any.
Well,
right?
Gaben doesn't live stream. Gaben's too busy being a successful motherfucker and a freaking Lord Savior.
Yeah, I feel like we don't
but
see a
Jeff
lot.
Jeff Kaplan is he's comedic. Gaben is pretty comedic. But Jeff Kaplan is like the most, I don't know. I feel like he's just a commodity, really. Is that the right way to pronounce? Not pronounce, but like he's like a comical commodity, Jeff Kaplan.
Yeah. And it's funny about that is when, like when you see him and you see the way he like, he is that guy. He's not faking any of that. Like he's just this awkward nerd.
Yeah.
But he lives up to it, which is the difference.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I was telling Bobby how he is a living internet meme.
Yeah, for sure.
It's a tough life. All right, but also in the news, Psychonauts 2 is delayed until at least 2019. This is sad news for me. I'm very disappointed in
that. That's a great game, Psychonauts.
So 28, yeah. It's hard to say delayed because they never said they were going to come out in 2018.
Mm-hmm.
But they said for sure it's not going to be.
And not only that, the last time a Psychonauts was released was multiple generations ago in terms of like the gaming console world.
Long, long time
so ago. It's hard to say a game that has not come out with a new release to call it delayed. It's just taking them. It's like, I honestly didn't even know a new Psychonauts was in the works. So.
Oh yeah, they've been talking about it for a while. But anytime I hear about a game being delayed, I'm really not that upset. I'm not one of those people that like I have to have this now. And if it's being delayed, it's usually for good reason.
Yeah. Or unless it's Duke Nukem Forever.
Yeah. Well, that's a that's a long story. All right. So you ready to talk some hardware?
Sure.
So you got a tile. Now explain to us what that is, because I had no idea this existed.
So the irony about me getting a tile is that I lost it. Before I could register it. So,
wait a second. So what's the irony in this? What is the tile?
I'm getting to that, Chi.
Oh, sorry.
I'm trying not to bury the lead. See, if I say what it is and then I tell the story, then there's no joke at the end. But if I tell the story and then I say what it is, there's a joke at the end.
On with the story, man.
So it's tiny. And I threw it away in the trash.
Goodness.
Which happened in San Jose. All of its Christmas trash. Hey, my sister's like, I don't know what to do with all my garbage. I have a tiny garbage can. And I was like, I'm a garbage man. And so we threw it in the back of my truck. And I drove it all the way down to San Diego. And on the way, I realized, or Sam realized, that I didn't mention the tile. And she's like, hey, you mentioned the tile, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, it must be in the garbage, which I happened to have with me.
I would hate to be Sam in that moment.
Yeah, she wasn't happy.
How much is the tile retail value?
I don't know. I really don't know. Okay. I would have to look. I would say sub 100.
Well, what is the tile? I'm waiting for the...
So as I'm looking for the tile, I'm like, man, I really wish I had some way to find this easier. Ironically, what a tile is something that you can find very easily. So you get this little thing. Chi, you want to explain what this looks like?
It looks like a key fob that you put on your keychain.
Yeah. And
some
so
type of dongle.
You can click on your phone.
It looks like a tile.
You can click on your phone, find my keys, or whatever you attach this to, and then this tile will ring.
I need one of those.
Yeah. And not only that, but it will tell you where in the house it is.
Are you selling that?
No. And you can walk towards it. But here's the awesome thing. It works in reverse. If you lose your phone, but you have your keys, you can double click on here.
Then I definitely need that.
Yes. This is the kind of person I am.
I lose everything. I lose one thing at least once a day.
Yeah.
It is a hard life.
So this was
lose my keys, I lose my glasses, I've lost my hairbrush, still can't find it.
I'm gonna demonstrate.
And here's the thing, guys, I live in a studio. There's only one room that I lose everything in and I still manage to lose it.
I'm gonna demonstrate. This is my keys and I'm double clicking on it. I think this is a word.
And that's your phone alarm going off.
But
that's awesome.
Even if my phone's on here we go. All right. Even if my phone is on silent, that will sound.
Just like any phone alarm. Because when I put my phone on silent, the alarm will always go off.
Okay. Just like that. Yep. But mostly it's for the...
And what does the beeping sound like on the keychain?
I'm not going to do that right now because I can't find it. But anyway, even if you lost it completely and it's nowhere near you, it will tell you on a map the last place that it showed up.
It's almost like Google Now telling me where I parked my car.
Yes.
Which is impressive.
But even more than that, they claim, Tile claims that they are the biggest. There's a lot of companies that do what they do. They're the biggest. So if somebody else, if you put, I've lost my phone, can't find it. If somebody else's Tile enabled device comes anywhere near your device, you'll be alerted.
Really?
Yeah. So if you were on Tile and
so it's like the heartbeat to the Jumanji board. If you're coming close to it, you're going to hear it. Yeah. That's cool. I need a tile. Good job. You've sold me on that.
I don't think they're that expensive, but
Will you kindly let my boyfriend know that you got that for your Christmas present so I can get one myself?
As long as you say would you kindly? I can't.
Would you kindly?
Yeah.
That's exactly what I do. When I lose something, I'm like, Where have you seen my, and like, honestly, he wants to get me t-shirts that say, have you seen my, and then a bullet list of keys, glasses, hairbrush. And the irony is I'm pretty, the irony is I'm pretty blind, so I can't find my glasses without my glasses. It's pretty horrible.
See the irony? I couldn't find my tile, which is why it's ironic, because I couldn't find it because it's a thing.
It's very ironic.
Well, you lost it before you could find anything.
Oh, boy. All right, let's go.
All right, let's do some listener questions here. It looks like we've got quite a few. First one coming from Khan. He's asking, is there any game or genre that in your head you think you should or do like, but you just keep bouncing off it when you try to play it?
4X, is that what that's called, Bobby?
4X, turn-based strategy game? Yeah. Like a strategy game, 4X, yeah.
I think I'm smart, or at least I used to think I was smart. I used to be smart. I think this is something that appeals to me. Every time I try to play one of these, I just get bogged down in all of the different numbers, and I just can't get into them. I guess I get into Civ. That would be the one that I get into in, but that one's more multiplayer. I don't know. I would say 4X for me. Mm-hmm. I just can't get into them, and I want to get into them.
Yeah. For me, I would say third-person action-adventure. Such cases like The Last of Us, Prince of Persia, anything that's no longer an FPS, but still a very good adventure game. Assassin's Creed, all the like. These are all games.
Lara Croft.
I don't like Tomb Raider, actually. I haven't really played much of Tomb Raider. But here's the thing. These are all games that are respectable to me, that I know have an... like, for instance, Metal Gear Solid 5, I picked up that game. I played only through the tutorial, and I barely touched anything else in regards to it. Like, these are all games that I used to play, I should be playing, and I just kind of lose interest.
Not about that third person.
Yeah. I don't know.
Just kind of the same way I'm not into that top-down.
And they're mostly single-player games, mind you. I feel like there needs to be almost a online and or social element to a game for me to enjoy it and for me to really stick it out. Like, there are more single-player games that I drop before there are multiplayer games that I'll continuously play.
Bobby?
I'm going to have to say MMOs. And that's really due to WoW. Every MMO
because
just
nothing
falls
is
short
quite WoW.
Of WoW. Mm-hmm. I've tried so many of them, and they aren't really a thing anymore. No one's really trying to make the next great MMO.
There are.
Well, I mean, not like
West
there was
is
like
the next one.
But I mean, how much buzz did that get? We barely even knew about it. But how many games like popped up after WoW trying to be the next big thing? But I have not been able to get into any single MMO other than World of Warcraft. All right, next question coming from False Josiah. What game did you want to be finished and watched die early access or just never released? I'm reading these verbatim, folks.
What he means is, like, what was in early... the way I interpreted it was, what was in early access that you wanted it to succeed but never made it out?
Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of them.
There's the Stomping Lands, which is, like, very famous for, like...
Oh, you know what? I am so surprised that you brought up the Stomping Lands.
We've talked about it a few times.
Remember how I said my core gamer best friend? He was actually behind the Stomping Lands. He is like 50% the Stomping Lands.
You can talk about it now, right?
I can talk about it.
Do you want to get into it?
We could get into it. It's fine. He knows how shitty that fucking game was.
The Stomping Lands was a dinosaur game, survival game that looked awesome. You were like...
It was like what Ark is now, or what was supposed to be Ark, kind of.
A proto-Ark. And what did...
Dude, the guy behind the Stomping Lands
so they made
so
a lot
money.
Of money.
So much fucking... Not the guy that was... Only the main person made a lot of money. He was such a shady fucking... Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, we're talking too much. I know too many dirty details around the Stomping Lands.
So we're not getting into it.
We're not getting into
scoop.
It.
Let's, the shocking expose.
Yeah, but no. Like, my gamer best friend is actually the main graphic artist behind the Stomping Lands. Yes.
Did he get paid at least?
He got paid. Okay. Yeah, but not a good percentage of everything. So...
You'll have to read about it all in your fan fiction.
I would say an interesting case was Rust. Like, Rust is still alive, I guess.
Oh, yeah, that's weird.
But I feel like Rust is only gotten worse. It's only gotten worse after when I played it. Like, every update that they have seems weird and, like, okay, you're stuck with the gender and whatever they assigned to you. They had a lot of potential, I thought.
I feel like most construction survival games like that, like, I think early access kills them. Like, Conan Exiles, for me, it's all survival, construction survivals that just need to, like, they come out too soon. It really kind of diminishes the launch, the release. Their intention for releases, and they might lose in their entire audience before anything.
Well, Rust definitely made their money, so I wouldn't say it's a failure, but I think it had a lot more potential. And what's really weird is, Bobby, was it the 1.0 where, like, there was a bunch of new graphics and spears and all these new things, and it was way worse, and we stopped playing it right away? Was that the 1.0?
I don't know. I don't think I ever played it. I never played Rust when it went fully 1.0.
Okay. But
yeah.
What's your answer?
So the game for me that died in early access, I don't know, Mighty No. 9 possibly, because I was kind of excited for that whole, like, hey, it's Mega Man again. But I don't know. There's got to be one that I'm bitter about, because there's so many games in early access that I was just so frustrated by. But a lot of times those games are dead to me before they reach 1.0. So, like, I've lost interest in them before that anyway. But I was going to say the Stomping Lands, because that seemed, you know, so ideal.
Oh, my gosh. Three votes for the Stomping Lands. Maybe I should have him listen in on this episode.
All right. Next question coming from Rubber Nuts. I don't know if this is a question or not, but I'm going to read it.
I only put it in here because of the colorful Australian language.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure Golf It is the new game to play. P.S. Gay marriage just went legalized in Australia, so yay to me. Yay to my poof mates. If you're
poof
one, then
gay in Australia.
Thank you for clarifying. Yep. If you're one, then apologize for calling cunts that won't game with me, one of you. It got a little cluttered at the end there, but the sentiment, we understand the sentiment.
Hooray, poofs.
So this is interesting, and I've been meaning to ask him this. It's always something I've been, like, trying to remember whenever I see him on to ask him. I don't think I've ever met a gay Australian in my entire life, so I wanted to, like, there are gay Australians, right?
There must be, but
there's gotta be.
Damn, dude.
Yeah.
Do you think there are?
Blew my fucking mind.
Have you ever met one?
No.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Because they would be... And then if they were a top, they'd be a power poof.
Oh, goodness.
All right, moving on.
Sounds like it honestly sounds like a power up in Mario or something, like power poof.
Yeah.
Okay, coming from Shadow Master. I either play a strong character or a range character. Question for the pod. Oh, I think that was unrelated. Yeah, you got to copy and paste these better.
Dude, I thought I cut that out.
Okay, question for the podcast. What was your last indie game, and Emilio, Binding of Isaac doesn't count?
I guess Cuphead. I know.
Are we calling that indie?
Yeah, I think so, right? Isn't it? And then
It is definitely an indie game, but it went so mainstream.
And then Hellblade? Is that indie?
Yeah, I don't know. That kind of blurs the line. It's definitely not a big studio.
I must be, like, the super indie player, because I'm playing the games that no one else is playing.
What are you playing?
Outbreak is my indie.
That literally and then
nobody
else
Capcom?
Is
playing.
No. Capcom did not make Outbreak.
What? Is it not a Resident Evil game?
No, it's a Resident Evil Outbreak is a Resident Evil game, but Outbreak is an homage to Resident Evil Outbreak.
An homage.
Fuck, I keep fucking it up.
This is cheese. Last podcast, everybody. Don't worry about it.
At least you all got to see this lovely face before I take my leave. Anyways, outside of Outbreak, I played that other horror game. Oh, no, Moonhunters. Ooh. Moonhunters was the last. Outbreak, and then Moonhunters, and before Moonhunters, that one other horror game I can't recall, and I was the only one on the planet playing.
See, I don't. It's some games I play, and I don't even know if they're indie or not. So
oh yeah, I know.
I'm not sure.
Gee. I mean, I know what you're talking about. Remember the game that she was the only person that played the peak was one person.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, that game's on my wish list.
Oh
yeah.
What? Okay.
I mean, you have to applaud my adventurism.
Yep.
My non-conformity of gameplay.
Yeah, Bobby.
I can't tell you. I don't know what game's indie and what game isn't. What's an indie game I played recently? Can't think of one.
All right.
Next question. Jens asks, can Chi stop saying et cetera? Drives me nuts.
No. Read it the way he said it.
XXX on the et cetera. Et cetera. I never noticed you saying
that.
Do I say et cetera a lot?
He's super racist. Don't worry about it. No, he's saying like that you say et cetera or something. I don't know. I've never picked up on it.
Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
He can go fuck himself.
I don't get it. I honestly don't.
I don't get it.
That's
either.
Not my. That's not a word that tops my most abused words.
Yeah. I don't even know what he's talking about.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that does it for listener questions. Now, last week we brought up Star Wars, but not everyone had seen it. So real quick, we're going to talk a little Star Wars here, possible spoilers, just so everyone's aware.
Should we close out and then go Star Wars?
No.
He just put the disclaimer.
Yeah. The spoiler alert's right there. We're talking Star Wars. Okay. So what you got?
I think it wasn't a bad movie, but I think it was a bad Star Wars movie. Because they're held at a different...
So where would you rank it in the other Star Wars movies?
One of the worst, probably bottom three.
It was the worst Star Wars movie that I've ever seen.
Above the prequels or below the prequels?
I thought, what is the third prequel one called? Return of the Sith or Revenge of the Sith? I thought it was a really good movie. So I put that one maybe equal. I don't know.
Okay, so it's up there with that one.
Well, yeah. I've only seen the original trilogy, Rogue One, and these two most recent Star Wars, like within the lineup of Star Wars. Never saw the original prequel volumes. And the thing is, it was probably my least favorite of all the Star Wars movies.
Yeah.
And what I noticed from this movie, and what also an article brought up that I so happened to read, was mentioning how the humor and everything else related to the Star Wars franchise needed to grow up with its audience as well, with its community. Because Star Wars was released, very late 70s or early 80s?
79.
So they know their fan base, their main audience is 30 years older now. And the humor and the overall execution of the different character dynamics and plot, then the turning of the plot, it was very Star Wars from what I was able to, you know, retain from it. But it just seemed very outdated and childish. Wouldn't you say?
I thought the entire casino scene, that entire thing could have been cut.
Oh, like, yeah.
It wasn't needed
totally.
At all.
Rose is making me look bad, man. So yeah. let's stop doing that cross comparison.
They do a bad job.
There was messages in that. They're definitely trying to make a statement, but that felt a little unnecessary. And it was like right in the middle of the movie, and it's this whole detour, and it ends up not paying off at all because the thing that they're down there trying to do, like find that master hacker or whatever to come up and save him, they end up not even needing that guy, and that dude that they find fucks him over. So,
they hurt
one of the best performances of the film, I thought. I thought that guy was amazing. That hacker,
the guy that stutters.
Mm-hmm. I thought he was fantastic. Yeah.
So
was that Benicio?
No. I don't think that was anyone
right?
famous.
He looked like Johnny Knoxville to me. I know he wasn't, but he looked like scene. Him.
But I don't know. I thought the movie was okay. Mark Hamill has come out and said that he did not like the way that Luke Skywalker was portrayed in that. Like he had creative differences with Rian Johnson, whoever the director was. So I really wonder what his view of that was. Because what do you think about Luke?
I thought this was very expected and or typical of Luke's character.
It was
Benicio
del Toro. We got confirmation in chat.
When I watched the original series...
Okay. Yeah, that guy's a good actor.
When I watched the original series, I never thought Luke was the say-all, be-all, most epic of personalities. If anything, Han Solo and Princess Leia were more badass than Luke Skywalker. Luke was always this person that they had to help become like the most epic, you know, Jedi. But his core self is nothing without his friends, his camaraderie, and
I'm okay with the way that he went, though, because all light Jedi, you know, all the Jedi masters, they always go like that. Like, even Obi-Wan Kenobi, even though Vader swung the sword at him, he disappeared. You know, the robe fell to the ground. Yoda disappeared. So Luke, I thought it was appropriate that he would disappear as well. Maybe we'll see him again in like a ghost form or something.
I think that's the only way he trains Rey, right? I think that's the way it's going to go down. I think his ghost Luke is going to train Rey.
But I think this movie was really about like getting rid of that whole, like, the old way of thinking about Jedi.
Yes. I think the Jedi...
And like, well, like it's reborn.
I think he's right, too. Like, when I... So I heard that there was twists in this movie and all these unexpected things. And so when I went in, I thought for sure Luke was going to be like, you know what? You don't have to be a Jedi. The dark side and the light side is in all of us. And like... there's going to be some sort of new warrior class that accepts both sides. And and even 65% of the way through the movie, I thought, oh, this is exactly what I thought it was. And then at the very end, it goes back to like, she's not the last Jedi. So,
yeah,
I don't know. All in all, I mean, like I said, it's not a bad movie. But as far as Star Wars go, it's not.
I think sense. I said this to you guys. I can't remember if I said it to someone else. But pretty much every Star Wars movie could be a half hour shorter, except for the original ones. I feel like every single Star Wars movie is at least 30 minutes too long. The last thing I want to bring up, last point, what do you guys feel about the Porgs? Because that's been a divisive thing amongst fans.
I thought they were funny.
I liked them. I actually really liked them, and I don't go for that stuff. Now, a lot of people's criticisms has been like... you know, the little the thing that Chewie gets,
he's eating one.
Yeah, they're adorable. Yeah.
Those are so cute. They were adorable. I love those
Chewbacca
things.
And they're like...
Yeah, little, they had some good comic relief.
That was probably like... that appealed to me a lot.
Well, here's the problem that people have, and here's how I'm going to fucking destroy the argument here. Because people say like, well, you know, that's just like they're trying to... everything's trying to be the Minions so they can merchandise. And I'm like, dude, Star Wars literally invented merchandising in movies. Like, if you're going to criticize Star Wars for like trying to merchandise shit now, like when they literally invented that 40 years ago. Yeah, that's why George Lucas is filthy rich, because he maintained the rights to it and then made a shit ton of money. Joked about it on Spaceballs. Like, this is a well-known thing.
Gotcha. But they didn't go into Star Wars thinking they were going to merchandise.
No, it just happened naturally.
Correct.
But they milked it.
Merchandising created, like, milked off of Star Wars, not the other way around. The way you said it makes it sound like they made the movie so they could sell toys. But the way it actually happened was, this movie's so awesome, we can sell so many toys.
You don't think they had that in mind when they made the Ewoks, though? Because, no. I mean, by the first Star Wars movie, they figured out, we can put Star Wars on anything and sell it to anybody. So, you know.
No, Ewoks are amazing. They're like Porgs.
Yeah, I don't know. I like the Porgs. I liked them more than I thought I would, so I'm on the Porg side. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Star Wars. What are we doing next week?
By the way, just right before, sorry, I got to say, when Luke walks out against those fucking walkers at the end,
and he dusts his shoulders off, that was
epic shit. Okay,
dusting the shoulder off was a bit much, but like him walking
that
out,
scene,
like,
though,
I was like, yeah, yeah.
That scene is like one of the most beautiful scenes that they've ever shot in Star Wars.
That was great.
It was a good redemption moment for Luke Skywalker because the whole entire movie, they set him up as a person with no point of return. He was never he was never going to be the hero that he originally was. He was damaged goods, and they did an absolute star spectacular way of redeeming his character.
Yeah.
I liked it.
Yeah. I liked it.
You got to watch a movie more than once to really give it an accurate opinion. Like, I think I really liked Rogue One more than a lot of the other.
I liked Rogue One.
That might be my favorite Star Wars. Newer Star Wars.
It was more.
Let's talk about modern era. I think it goes Rogue One, The Force Awakens, The Last Jedi. Right.
I'd have to rewatch. I really got to rewatch
what?
Last Jedi.
How can you argue with that listing?
Force Awakens, I got mixed feelings about. They basically resold us A New Hope. You know, it's like
it might be better than The Last Jedi.
There were parts in A New Hope or not A New Hope, but Awakens, where I was like, they could lose this.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. We're
mostly simpatico here, though. I think
I think we're all in agreement. Yeah. All right. So hopefully the Han Solo movie next year. High hopes, but I hear there's problems in production. So.
Oh, are we going to see Ewoks in the next one?
Maybe.
Yeah.
We're going to see Lando. All right. What are you guys doing next week? What are we playing? I got another week off, so it's going to be...
You have the whole week off, Bobby?
Uh-huh.
Oh, this is exciting.
Bobby, will you try this PUBG just to see...
I will at least try a few
PUBG.
Games.
But I'd love to play any multiplayer game.
I went into Fortnite and I was just like, it's PUBG and I have no interest in it. Like, I lose interest 5 minutes into it. So I will try it.
I'll play
see
it.
What
Hell
it looks
yeah.
all the PUBG.
I will play any multiplayer game. I'd be down.
Last thing tagged on. Star Wars had a... there's another single player they added on. They did it right before Christmas. I forget what it's called, but I've been playing that. It's interesting.
Just a DLC?
It's like 25 years. No, it's free. 25 years after the original, and you're playing the same character, but she has like gray hair now, and you get to see what happened in between. So,
it's funny how they added it later.
Yeah.
Did they advertise it at all? Or is it kind of a...
Like if you go on Origin, it's advertised, but other than that...
Is it kind of something that they implemented post...
Try to make up for
chaos, yeah, as an apology?
It's probably something they're going to charge for.
It's like, sorry we did this, but at least we did this.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, they probably were originally going to charge for it, but then just decided to give it away.
I'm enjoying it more than I thought I was going to. Like I said for the last couple of weeks... Towards the middle and end, I was just like, oh my God, when is this going to end? But then I was kind of happily surprised that I kind of enjoyed going back into it afterwards. I'm still enjoying the multiplayer. PUBG is way, way better. But that's just my opinion. I'm going to be playing PUBG all this week. So
all
if
right.
you don't like it, go fuck yourselves.
We'll hear more about that next week.
And then next... For next week's episode, are we doing our Game of the Year awards for New Year's? Or when exactly are we doing that?
I don't even know what to pick.
Yeah, we're
I guess
doing
we
our
should.
DLG
we
awards.
We should think of like a clever way, because everybody knows what your minds are.
We're going to correct... well, first off, we're going to fix our Twitch stream, and we're going to have our own award show. That'd be nice. Yeah.
No, it would be. All right, so we have a lot of correcting and taping to do. In our future, anything else?
Are we
going to
be dressed up for the awards? Are you going to wear a suit and tie?
I'll wear one.
Would you, Bobby? I'll wear
you
a dress.
You own one, Bobby?
A suit? Yeah.
Yeah, we should for next. Let's next.
Guy doesn't
we're
want a
we're
suit.
Setting up the standards now for our end
Poor
of the year Game of the Awards right. show.
Well, we got some technical issues to work through.
Yeah,
but, you're really setting the bar high here, Chi.
Well, hey, we'll probably be just as entertaining as a video game awards show. Who knows?
Okay. And speaking for Bobby, Chi, and Emilio. First time on video tits, and they're shy.